drive, and far side, Dunn scores! Mark Shabbard! The Boston Bruins are back in it!
He's made, going in on goal, he should be gone!
Tays up with Pavlata. Rallo's over on right hand, right to the goal. He scores! A spectacular goal by 20-year-old Jonathan Tays. You won't see any better than that.
Gavrik moves in. He scores! Marion Gavrik steps it home.
Here's Van Riemsdyk. Off the wall with it. Backhander, he scores! There's your answer. James Van Riemsdyk.
To the outside, takes his own pass. Marchand along in front. Score!
And now it's time for the Blue Line on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your host, Rob Strauss and John Flacco.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And welcome to another edition of the Blue Line. We took a little hiatus. We went and played for the KHL for a little bit, but now we're back. Rob Strauss, John Flacco, with an edition of the Blue Line right here on Sterling High School Radio. John, welcome back to another fine podcast. We're back again.
Great to be back here in Sterling Radio Studios.
Heck yeah, new studios in the comfy confines of 402 here at Sterling High School in Somerdale, New Jersey. And this is a hockey podcast based basically off of what we think is going on in the wonderful world of the NHL. And if you would like to follow what's going on, feel free to follow us on Twitter at Knights Radio, and you can check it out on there. We're also trying to get this on the Apple world of things, trying to get this featured on iTunes on their podcast. Well, we'll work on that. A little shorter version of our podcast today until we can figure out how to post this on to the podcast feature in iTunes. But until then, plenty to talk about. Pittsburgh's won a pair of Stanley Cups since the last time, I think. Even before that, Chicago won another cup. What a surprise there. I don't think we've done this podcast for at least two or three years, so it's been a while.
It has been a while, and like you said, Pittsburgh's been pretty dominant in the playoffs in the past two seasons. Not so much a dominance in terms of regular season last year, but definitely turned it on at the end.
And Pittsburgh turning it on right now, turning it on at the right time. They did struggle a little bit. They had a lot of key injuries. Matt Murray was injured for quite a bit. We'll get to the Eastern Conference in a little bit. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to break down this segment into the Eastern and Western Conference for this part. We'll start off with the Western Conference, move over to the East, take a little break, come back with our surprises and disappointments, and then close it out. So we'll start with the Western side of things, and there's a lot of movement in the West, a lot of teams up in the area that you don't necessarily see. Usually the LAs, the Chicagos, and even to an extent, Edmonton is a team that we thought was going to be good with Connor McDavid among all that young talent that they have. Your league leader right now is the upstart Vegas Golden Knights, 36-15-4 as of today. It's Valentine's Day Eve. Unbelievable start for Vegas.
Yeah, it's amazing what they've been able to do. They've been able to put together a team and play well from the start, and good, sound defensive team. Not a lot of stars on that team. We were looking through the roster earlier, some sort of leftovers from some other teams, but lead right up at the top there, former Flyer, Pierre Belmar, was a very good role player with the Flyers, a penalty killer. And a very defensive-minded player, but a good, solid all-around player. And I don't know, Rob, I mean, aside from maybe James Neal, does anybody else jump at you as a...
Not really. I mean, obviously you have Marc-Andre Fleury, who was injured in the very, very beginning of that season. And now Malcolm Subban is also on the injured reserve list right now for them. So, I mean, but having Marc-Andre Fleury, I mean, he is on fire again. And what a great pickup for them. I think even... I took my son out to the Pittsburgh parade. I know you're not a big, you know, not happy with that parental decision right there, but they were talking about it on the way home from the parade, that was the last time you're going to see Marc-Andre Fleury, and they knew it. Pittsburgh knew it, that they were going to leave him unprotected because you had Matt Murray backing him up. But there's no doubt that Marc-Andre Fleury has been arguably the face of the franchise along with James Neal from Nashville. So doing a great job. Jonathan Marchessault doing a great job there as well. Short little centerman right there doing a nice job. But you go down up and down their roster. I watched the draft on this, and I'm like, okay, these guys are going to win maybe 20 games this year. And they're doing a hell of a job right now, sitting there right now at 36 wins.
Yeah, and if you look at, you know, they've had a real good road record as well as a home record. And, you know, it's hard to find a flaw in the team. I think that's the emphasis really for them is the team. Like you said, there's no real standout on there. And, well, obviously a well-coached team. Just a mix of a lot of good things come together at the right time for them. And like you said, I think a part of it, too, is it being a down year for teams like Chicago and L.A. and Anaheim and even Edmonton, which was expected to be a higher team. You know, it's almost like a flip-flop, really, in the West of what we saw at the beginning of last year.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable. Usually the perennial powerhouses, your L.A.'s, your Chicago's, your Vancouver's, and even to an extent San Jose, who's in second place right behind Vegas still, but still 8 points back of Vegas. But it really is funny, the role reversal. And we'll get to Chicago in the second half of our segment here. But just doing a phenomenal job out there. And it's going to be interesting to see once playoff time rolls around in about a little over 6 weeks left in the regular season, about 24, 25 games left in the regular season for a lot of these teams. How this whole thing shakes out. Nashville on top of the Central right now with 33 wins and 75 points. Winnipeg only 2 points behind them. And there's a team that we knew was going to be good at the end of last season is really making an impact this year. It looks to be a lock for the playoffs right now.
Yeah, definitely turn your team around. If you look at their the number of goals, you know, 179 goals, that's up there as one of the league leaders. So they're really focusing on the offense part of it, and that's kind of carrying them this far along. You know, being a young team, though, that doesn't necessarily translate in the playoffs. But, you know, their goal differential for the season is pretty good. So it's not like they're giving up a ton of goals, but they're definitely relying more on offense than defense at this point.
The Western playoffs are going to be really, really interesting this year because you do have, I think, some of the veteran teams out there in terms of playoff prowess. Nashville, obviously, with the run all the way to the Cup final last year. And from what I heard from just national media and things like that, that city absolutely exploded with enthusiasm for that Nashville team. And I heard it's not only a great city to visit, even without hockey, but they really embrace that team. They really seem to do a great job down there with bringing fans. They're bringing Ryan Ellis coming back after his little hiatus. Is going to come back on that team. So he hasn't reported yet, but they don't know when he's going to – or excuse me, Mike Fisher. Mike Fisher coming back, and they don't know when he's going to suit up yet, but we'll see what happens. He's obviously going to make a huge impact for that team.
Yeah, and you know that team's set up for the playoffs, so they just need to kind of go into the playoffs healthy so they can make a run. They're playing well. They know what they can do as a team. They've been there in the playoffs. You know, they weren't able to finish last year, but that experience is definitely going to help them moving forward this year.
I want to see how Vegas does in the playoffs this year for sure, only because they don't have a lot of veteran players on that team, and that's what I think what you need. You need that veteran player in the locker room, and maybe you never know. I mean, you could ride Marc-Andre Fleury, a veteran goaltender who's won a pair of Stanley Cups, three Stanley Cups actually, with the Penguins. I don't know if he's the vocal leader that you need out on the ice, getting into the thick of things with the playoff scrums and things like that. But you're looking up and down their roster, getting back to the Vegas roster. There's not a lot of guys on that team other than outside of James Neal that have that playoff grittiness. And we'll see if the young guys can really take over because their squad is relatively young.
Yeah, the one thing you have to look at with Vegas is look at their home record, Rob. They have four losses at home for the entire season.
The Flyers gave them one of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was real early in the season, too. So, you know, people go into Vegas, and it's a different, you know, it's a different town for the NHL, and I think that might help a little bit in terms of hockey mentality. But, you know, maybe guys are just a little distracted being in Vegas when they go there for a game, and that kind of, you know, plays a little role in how the Golden Knights handle who comes into their building. I mean, four losses for past the All-Star break at home, that's a significant number. Like you said, Fleury plays a big role in that, because if you look at the goals allowed for the season, there are three or four teams that I see that have allowed less goals. And when you look at those teams, it's like you said, it's goaltending is one of the primary reasons why their goals allowed are down as much as they are.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I really want to see how they do. They're having a phenomenal inaugural season. It's great for that city, and I think a lot of teams are professional teams. I know football's looking to expand out there as well. I'm interested to see how they do in the playoffs, because that's really – it's great that you have a great regular season. You don't want to turn into the Washington Capitals of the Western Conference, but for an inaugural season, you couldn't ask for a better season. Even if they lost every single game from here on out, they still have the best rookie season by any franchise in NHL history.
Yeah, and the other part of that, too, is when you're building on something like this, it's a lot easier to get a free agent to come play for your team when you do something like this right away. So, you know, I'm sure they'll have the cap space to bring people in and kind of tweak their roster so they can become even a better team, like a playoff team, you know, going forward.
Only two other teams in the league have a higher goal differential than the Vegas Golden Knights, and that's Boston and Tampa. We'll get to them in a few minutes. But the other teams in the mix there in the Pacific Division, San Jose, as we mentioned earlier, 8 points back from Vegas, as well as Calgary, just 10 points back of Vegas. And Calgary's a team that was really kind of left for dead last year. Didn't really do much. I don't even think they made the playoffs last year. And so now you've got Winnipeg and Calgary as some Canadian representatives there in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I think one of the teams you want to look at, though, in that cutoff, if you look at L.A., we talked about them being down, but their goal differential is a plus 26. So they're only 1 point out of the playoff race behind Minnesota. So that's a team you want to look at. I think Pacific, is aside from Vegas, is the weaker division. Whereas Nashville and Winnipeg are much closer to Vegas than the other teams are overall. So we'll probably see that kind of play out and kind of even itself out as we move towards a playoff push. We know these veteran teams, when we get to this time of year, you know, when out football season's over, the weather starts changing, we start looking towards the playoffs, teams start to really hone in and get their goaltenders locked in and get their plan moving forward and start revving it up, playing well, looking forward to the playoffs.
There are three teams that are chasing Minnesota right now. L.A., Anaheim, and Colorado are all chasing Minnesota. They're all separated by just 2 points as a total. So it's pretty crazy. It'd be interesting to see how this shakes out even in a week or two from now when we do our next podcast, how the landscape has changed for these squads in the Western Conference. But you look at the bottom four: Chicago, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Arizona. Arizona in a rebuild kind of phase. They have been for a while since I believe they have a lot of youth there, and there are rumors that what's going to happen with this team, where are they going to go next? I know Seattle has been floated out there as a possible expansion franchise, which would be great. Seattle's a great sports town. And I don't know what's going to happen with Arizona. They're currently last in the league. They only have 14 wins on the season. Buffalo only has 16, but I guess it's a race for the basement, I suppose. But a lot of young talent there. But I think the one that stands out to me is Chicago. Barely 500 right now, 24-8. And they just took a big L last night on the road at Arizona, 6-1.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing with Chicago is the core of that team is becoming a little older, and the pieces around them just are not what the pieces they had when they went through all those cup runs and those playoff runs. So you're kind of seeing a little bit of change in the guard Chicago, and it's kind of made itself known. I mean, you look at their home and playoff records, they're a 500 team.
Yeah,
they're right down the middle there across the board.
So we'll switch gears a little bit now, move up to the Eastern Conference, something that we don't have to stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning to actually enjoy, something we can speak a little bit more relatively intelligent on. And you look at the Metro and the Atlantic. Now, the Flyers obviously had that huge 10-game skid back in December and into the turn of the new year, and they have really rebounded nicely since that slide earlier.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at just at the number of games in the loss column, I mean, the Flyers are right up there with the leaders. I mean, you take obviously Tampa and Boston out of it. Those two are the elite of the top of the East. But after that, you know, the Flyers are right there with them. And like you said, considering that loss streak that they had,
it's unbelievable.
The fact that they are sitting where they are right now is a huge accomplishment for the team. You know, I think at one point we talked about whether or not the coach was going to survive to the All-Star break at this point. And at this point, you know, he's kind of redeemed himself. So we'll see what the playoff run reveals. We'll see if we can kind of turn that on in the playoffs and play the same kind of hockey that they're playing right now.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think you know where I'm going with this. The big question for Philadelphia is going to be their goaltending. Elliott has been on and off the injured list with a lower body injury. Michael Neuwirth not doing a terrible job as a backup, and you've also got the kid coming up as well from the minors. I don't think he even picked up a win yet. Hasn't even picked one up yet. But still, in order for them to be successful in the playoffs, they need Brian Elliott to be healthy.
Yeah, and as always, when we get to this time of year, goaltending is a huge question mark. You know, they're not a Stanley Cup contending team with the goaltending they have. Like you said, they had Neuwirth is a good backup, but is Elliott that much really better than him? Given his health, the kid's not ready. We're not ready to see that. I think what you've seen from that losing streak to what we see now is a kind of a light switch going off with their younger players and their younger defensemen figuring out how to work with the goaltending they have to become a good overall team. So I think that part of it, the coach has kind of got them on pace for. You know, if you insert, you know, hot goalie, maybe, but you know that's not a definite there. The overall talent is not there for them to go in and say we have a goaltending to win in the playoffs right now.
That dynamic still has yet to kind of shake itself out. They are chasing Pittsburgh and Washington. Washington atop of the Metro right now with 70 points. Flyers right behind them with 65. At Pittsburgh, 66 points, but Philadelphia has a game in hand. So technically, Philadelphia wins their next game against the Devils. They could switch spots with Pittsburgh, who was, we mentioned this earlier, starting to light it up a little bit and starting to play a little bit better than they have been earlier in the year.
Yeah, both teams are on the winning streak. Flyers won 6 out of the last 10. Pittsburgh's won 7 out of the last 10. You know, both the big guns for Pittsburgh are doing what they normally do. They, you know, turn it on. They score lots of goals. They're winning games. They're Crosby putting it on the game on his stick and kind of carrying them where they need to be. I think with Pittsburgh, what remains to be seen is, do they have the stamina and the ancillary pieces to keep moving forward from this point and carry that through the playoffs? I mean, we're still a long way out from the playoffs right now. So, now is a little early to be peaking for a team that's been behind for most of the season. And Pittsburgh started off slow. Just like the Flyers, not as bad as the Flyers, but definitely slower for them.
New Jersey's still in the mix in the wild card as well. They started off incredibly hot, one of the best teams in the league in the first probably third to maybe even half of the season. Injury bug has struck them, especially between the pipes with Corey Schneider.
Yeah, it was very much a surprise start for them. They were picked to be one of the worst teams in the league, I think, at the beginning of the season. So the fact they sat where they are for so long was a huge accomplishment. You got to look at overall, like you said, with the goals allowed are a little up compared to the other playoff teams. I think their offensive firepower is not what other teams have, so that puts them a little bit behind when you're talking about all these teams at the top of the leader standings.
Corey Schneider out for this week and will continue to receive treatment for a groin and hip injury, and as a goaltender, That is not
kiss of death.
Yeah, it is the kiss of death. That is one of those injuries that keeps recurring and recurring and recurring. So the Devils and Flyers are set to square off tonight, and that is a 7 o'clock start in Philadelphia, and that is huge implications for that because the Devils could technically almost switch spots with the Flyers. There's 3 points differential, but they can creep within one of the Flyers.
Yeah, and this has been a good rivalry all year. They've gone back and forth. These teams have been pretty close and even all year, so it's definitely not, there's nothing you go into this game and say, oh, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. It can go either way. You can have, like you said, it helps for the Flyers the fact that their number one goaltender is not in right now. But, on the other side, the Flyers have not had outstanding goaltending. A little bit better recently with their winning streak, but overall not excellent.
The rest of the Metro shakes out to be the Islanders and the Rangers. The Rangers are kind of in no man's land right now. Only 2 points out of the last wild card spot, but not playing the way that you're used to seeing the Rangers play. And I think it's safe to say it's kind of a down season for them. Like you said, still a long way to go.
Right.
However, not the Rangers hockey that we're used to seeing. Usually used to seeing them in the top three in the Metro. Not this year.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm reading on NHL.com is there's a lot of Rangers names out there on the trade rumor mill. So I think they're in a position where they just need to change it over, or they need to kind of retool and move forward because this team is not geared for an extended playoff run. You look at their away record; they're 9-14-2 on the road. I mean,
yikes.
That's not a good formula going into the playoffs when you're at the bottom of the playoff. Standings.
Only 3 wins in their last 10 games are the Rangers, and they are slowly sliding down that Eastern Conference ladder. Only Florida is below them, 5 points below them, but still only winning 3 of your last 10 games, not really the direction you want to be going down the last third of the season. The other part of that is the Atlantic Division. Atlantic Division, obviously, strong Atlantic Division this year. Tampa they were cup favorites coming into this year, picked by many to win the cup this year again. Great goaltending, great scoring, great defense, and it shows. They are on top of the league right now, 79 points, second only. Actually, they're number one in the league right now. Vegas is the second team, but Tampa, super team this year so far.
And we talked about this earlier. We knew that Tampa is this team. That the only question for them was health concerns. They needed their number one players to be healthy. And when all those guys are healthy, they play off each other. And, we see it now with I don't even think Stamkos is their point leader.
Kucherov is their
point leader.
Right.
He's having a fantastic season. But that just goes to show you the depth of that team, that they can have someone like Kucherov step up and be the point leader for the team when you still have a guy who's a goal-scoring machine like Stamkos and, just the talent throughout all those levels of that team.
Nikita Kucherov leads the league right now in points with 71, so that's above names like Connor McDavid, Steven Stamkos, his fellow teammate, Malkin, and Crosby. He is 9 points ahead of Sidney Crosby and 8 ahead of Malkin, and it's really unbelievable the amount of talent that they've acquired down there in Tampa.
Yeah, and this is all coming from the right wing position. We're not even talking about a center here. So, he's there's a, like I said, it's those lineups, those line changes in Tampa and their power play. There's just so many opportunities. I mean, they, what is it now? They have 201 goals scored, which I believe is the league lead for the year.
It would have to be.
Islanders have 193. But the Islanders give up way more goals than Tampa does. So they're a plus 52 in goal differential for the season.
Technically, right now, Boston is right behind Tampa Bay, and they have 2 games in hand on Tampa, and they could technically be the best team in the Atlantic and arguably the league. Boston got off to a really slow start, and they just started ripping off wins as of late, and they are currently second in the Atlantic with 76 points. And talk about a team that just perennially does amazing things year in and year out. They're getting great goaltending. Tuukka Rask is he's the truth.
Yeah, when you have a goaltender like that, you're in it every season. You know, as long as your goaltender's healthy, you can do great things. They you know, they have a little bit older lineup, but they kind of remind me of what Chicago has been over the past decade or so. You know, you look at them and they don't flash out at you in the beginning of the season, and then next thing you know, you turn around, and there they are, right up behind the leaders, going into the playoffs. You know, great goaltending, good defense, solid scoring throughout all their lines, and they're always geared up to make a good playoff run.
22 wins on the season for Tuukka Rask, doing a great job, and believe it or not, 11 wins behind Vasilevsky of Tampa. So Tampa really thrown a lot of weight on Vasilevsky this year, made an incredible save, a filthy save the other night. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. Just throwing an arm up in the air and made a mind-blowing save. So shout out to Vasilevsky. I know he's not going to hear me, but hey, thanks for checking
never
in.
Know.
You never know.
Rob.
Checking in. I appreciate it. The other team in the Atlanta, or in the Metro, rather, the Atlanta, excuse me, my Toronto Maple Leafs having a pretty good season so far. A lot of young talent on that team, obviously, with Austin Matthews and Michael Nylander, just to name a few. And they are getting some great goaltending as well from Freddie Anderson. Picked up a big win last night at home against Tampa, 4-3. They were actually up 3-1 in that game, 4-1, and held on to beat Tampa. Two big points there for the Leafs.
Yeah, what I think you're seeing with Toronto is the part of that franchise's plan. They went in and they made a commitment. They spent money for coaching. They went in, they made a commitment to get a goaltender in there that they thought could be solid for them and not be so much of a question mark like it has been in years past. You have talent there, goal-scoring talent there. You know, they're adding a young Austin Matthews, a standout talent, has kind of put them over the top in terms of leaders in the regular season. The only question for Toronto is postseason.
Yep,
they got to do it in the postseason. They proved that they've become a force to contend with in the Atlantic. Their team's for real. They just need to go into the playoffs and do it.
They had a great run last year against the President's Trophy winner, Washington Capitals. Every single one of those games was a one-goal game. Several of them went to overtime, and they could have very easily advanced to the next round in that one. I don't think they would have gotten past Pittsburgh in that second round, but it was a nice, good experience for those younger players to get that playoff feel, and it'll be interesting to see how they respond to that this season. My concern is how much they're riding Freddie Anderson, and at what point is he going to be fresh for the playoff run? And I think that's one of the big questions. So I don't think scoring is a question with that team. That's not it. I think it's a young blue line and a very, very busy Freddie Anderson between the pipes.
Yeah, and you can see that 192 goals, that's a lot of goals. So the offense is there. They have the offense. I think that that's where coaching comes in. Toronto's coaching staff, they just have to look at where they are in the schedule and look at the number of games remaining in the season, and they got to pick their spots where they need to make Anderson as necessary for him to play, and where they can kind of give him a break from time to time. Because are you going to, as a Maple Leafs, are you looking at Toronto, Tampa Bay, and thinking, yeah, we can catch them? Or are you looking, saying, let's just gear up and get ready for the playoffs?
I think you just get to the dance, to be honest with you. So many times, and in so many, I think there's the only league that's really like this between the four major sports, where you have a team that can sneak in at the eight or the seven seed and really make an impact and have a nice long run. I don't think you're going to see that in basketball. Occasionally you see it in football, and baseball I don't think has enough teams. They only allow six teams in, so it's a little bit different for hockey. I think it's, if you get into the dance and you're pushing towards the playoff, every game is a playoff game for one of those teams that's hungry on the outside looking in. So I think that they make I don't want to say a cup run, but I think it all depends on how Freddie Anderson does.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's about timing. Your team plays well, You get good goaltending, and you're playing well going into the playoffs. It doesn't, if you're doing both of those things, it doesn't really matter a whole lot in the standings. I mean, you don't want to be eighth playing the one seed in the first round. But if you're at the three rather than the four, or maybe the two and the five, that may not be that. That one game, home game difference is not going to make or break a good team. And like you said, you're getting that scoring all year long. You know, will it decline in the playoffs against a better team? Sure, but it's not going to disappear completely.
No.
And like you said, the goaltending's been there all year too, so that's not going to disappear either.
Your current wild card, you have New Jersey and Carolina. Carolina, another young team. Again, trying to retool some of the things there. Not playing too poorly as of late, about 500 hockey. Picked up a win on the road against Carolina several days ago. But they are being chased right now by Columbus, a team that I would not want in my rearview mirror at all with the goaltending of Sergei Bobrovsky. Islanders scoring goals like it's their job. Unfortunately for them, they're also giving up more than they're allowing. So they are a minus 17 in the goal differential. So obviously you can see where the issue lies with the Islanders. And we mentioned the Rangers earlier, only 2 points out of that final playoff spot. After that, you kind of fall off a cliff a little bit. Florida, Detroit, Montreal, Ottawa, and Buffalo starting to fade out. And I think the big one to look at least for me anyway, is Montreal, a team that it's the mecca of hockey, as some would say. And they are right now third from last in the Eastern Conference.
They just can't score goals, Rob. I mean, the offense just is not there for that team. Storied franchise. It's always a story when Montreal is not in the playoffs.
Yep.
So, they tend to get a little bigger spotlight when they have down years. They can't. Not every team's going to be there every year. But for them, this is a big deal. It's a drop off. You look at their road record. That tells you the story right there. 8 wins on the road.
That'll do it.
That'll keep you from getting to playoffs. And they're not, the offense isn't there. They're just not scoring goals.
And again, a lot can happen. They're 10 points out of the last playoff spot. They're not out of it yet, per se. They have about 6 teams that they need to jump over, 5 teams that they have to jump over. And the way that this league is working now, with the new schedule and the new 2-division per conference format, it makes it a little bit tougher to jump over those teams, because every single one of those teams has to lose in order for you to move up. So that's where it gets kind of challenging. So that rounds out the Eastern Conference. And real quick, because I know we're kind of running short on time here, so give me some of your surprises and your disappointments for the year, John. I mean, it's I know it's early. We got about a third of the season left to go, but obviously the big story we talked about earlier, Vegas, I think, is the big surprise, I think, on everybody's radar. But who's somebody that is outside of the Vegas story? Who's your biggest surprise this year?
I mean, I think you have to look more in the West for the changeover and as the biggest surprise. I think right now the fact that Chicago is in the position they are, it has to be the biggest surprise overall. I mean, it's just they just fell off a cliff in terms of the being able to compete in their league. Maybe in a less way, Buffalo with having Eichel there and
who's hurt now.
Yeah, and the way that franchise was going forward just seemed to kind of just reversed and went backwards. Columbus has been a little bit of a disappointment, but they're still in contention. As long as they have Bobrovsky, they have a chance there. I'd have to go with Chicago as the biggest of all the disappointments.
I would agree with that 100%. I mean, there's some teams that they should be ahead of. Colorado is obviously a very, very young team. But you look at that roster on paper, Chicago should be in the mix of being a playoff team. And for some reason, they are not. They're 10 points out of a playoff spot right now. And it's just, with all the talent that they have on that team, the goaltending, the experience, the veteran leadership that they have on that team, I'm kind of hard-pressed to see how they're not in that. I mean, again, still a third of the season left to go. But time is quickly running out. They're almost in they're not quite in panic button mode, but they're getting pretty darn close, especially when you only have 2 wins in your last 10 games. So, obviously, for me, the Vegas start is awesome to watch. And I'm actually pretty surprised with the Rangers. I thought that this would be a good year for the Rangers. Equally surprised at where Boston is right now and how well that they're playing. They have two games in hand on Tampa, and they could if they win both of those games and Tampa goes idle, they could be the top team in the Atlantic and arguably the league. So Boston playing really, really well right now. I think Toronto is right around where they should be. And New Jersey, with their hot start, they've kind of come back down to earth a little bit. But for me, the Rangers not being in a playoff position with a third of the season left to go is pretty surprising.
And one team we want to add is probably the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, what is happening in Edmonton with all the draft picks and the talent? They seem, once they got McDavid, they seem to be moving in a different direction. And then here they are back down in the basement again, you know, giving up 184 goals for the season.
And they gave up 7 to Florida the other night.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, they have a losing record at home for the season.
But I think it's with that type of, that brand of hockey, with Canadian hockey, they're going to come out to the game. I don't think it's an attendance issue with them by any stretch. They're going to come out and see. I would go out and see Connor McDavid every night if my team had 10 wins. I wouldn't even care because he's just that fun to watch. There are very few players that are like that are in this league, maybe a handful. But, you know, I think you're right with Edmonton. Where direction are they going? They're 16 points out of the last playoff spot. They're not at the point where they can write the season off yet, but the numbers are pretty telling there. So, -27 goal differential. Yikes.
Yeah, that's not a formula for success in
any
way.
No, it is not. So, those are our surprises and disappointments right here on the Blue Line. I'm Rob Strauss. That, my friends, is John Flacco, the great John Flacco. We are doing the Blue. It's called the Blue Line here on Sterling High School Radio. Well, we're going to do this podcast once every couple weeks and kind of go back and figure out where our predictions lie. And then pretty soon, once we start coming down to playoff time, we'll start figuring out our playoff predictions, and which we're always wrong. We'll try and get some guest hosts on here, and we always like to go back and make fun of ourselves. If you have anything that you would like to ask us, feel free to tweet us at Knights Radio on Twitter, and we can make you a part of the Blue Line. We'll answer your questions live on the air, and we're going to try and get this podcast featured on iTunes. So we're working very, very diligently on that. In the once we jump off
that's
the air,
that's our goal.
Here. That's our goal. We're trying to hit the big time here, as we're trying to do. So, John, any final thoughts for? Before we sign off.
Great being back here, working with you, Rob, being in this new studio, looking forward to the rest of the season. We're going to have a good time.
Fancy pants in here, absolutely. Once again, I'm Rob Strauss. That's John Flacco. You've been listening to The Blue Line right here on Sterling High School Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Knights Radio if you would like us to answer any questions. Do you have anything that you want to share with us? Otherwise, we'll catch up with you next time right here on The Blue Line here on Sterling High School Radio. Thanks for joining us.